Warming temps and heavy rains can spell trouble for your home. Don't wait for a problem. Get a free foundation inspection from PermaSeal. Stay dry, stay protected. For peace of mind, call 800-421-SEAL or visit permaseal.net.
Tonight on Blackhawks Live, a new season, different faces, and the drive to win.
Jones high slot, fires, Patson, rebound, score! Connor Bedard, Donato to Nazar over the blue line down the slot, he shoots, he scores! Frank Nazar on a breakaway!
Join Charlie Remiliotis as he dives into what's next for the Hawks. Here's Charlie.
Okay, guys, show us what you got.
What is up? Welcome to Blackhawks Live. Charlie Remiliotis here with Jack Heinrich, as always, riding shotgun with me. And before we even get into some hockey talk, I got to shout out Jack for us filling in for me the last couple games over the weekend while I was under the weather. Jack, you did an incredible job. I was fearing for my job a little bit with how well you did, but it was good. It's good to be back yesterday, but you did great in the pinch hit circumstance.
Thanks. I appreciate it. I think your job is safe, but it was fun to hang out in your chair for a few days and goof around with Troy and John. So I'm glad you're back though. I'm glad you're all good.
I felt very bad on Friday because I threw you into a really difficult circumstance of trade deadline day and it actually turned out to be one of the more fun games of the season for the Blackhawks. Yeah. So I'm happy that you had a fun post-game show to talk about. But thanks for stepping up. You did awesome. We got a fun show today. We'll talk about Artem Lechinov's debut and why the Blackhawks have had the last six games are 3-1-2. So what are the biggest reasons behind the little turnaround success here for Chicago? And then we'll also recap the trade deadline on Friday, Chicago's moves, and other things like that. And the last segment, we'll get to Jonathan Toews potentially being serious about his NHL comeback. So we'll wrap up the show with that. But let's get into it. So a couple days ago, we got an alert. The Blackhawks are calling. Well, actually, let me rewind. We saw on Twitter, it was Artem Lechinov had popped up on the Chicago Blackhawks main NHL roster. First of all, I don't know how people find out this news.
I was wondering the same thing when I saw that.
Like, it must be some sort of random coincidence, but are people like refreshing the Blackhawks primary roster like on a daily basis to know like, oh, like, anyway, so he saw that he was on the main roster and then like an hour later, he got taken off the main roster. Well, then 30 minutes later or whatever it was, you look at the AHL transactions log and it says Blackhawks call up Artem Lechinov, and the team announcement came pretty shortly after. And I got to be honest, I was a little bit surprised to see that there was a stretch in the middle of January where Lechinov went, I think it was 9 straight games without a point. But then after that, he had 11 points in 14 games. And in one of those games, he got ejected early in the first period. So it's basically 11 points in 13 games. So almost a point per game pace. So he had been playing much better. But I didn't think he was getting to a point where the Blackhawks were going to call him up yet. I thought maybe that they would just kind of let the entire season ride with him in Rockford. But clearly they saw enough where the Blackhawks felt they wanted to get a look in. And I was under the assumption that the Hawks were going to call him up, maybe get him a full morning skate in Colorado. It's an off day today in San Jose. They're going to practice tomorrow, then maybe get a full skate in and throw him into San Jose. But that was not the case. The Blackhawks threw him into Colorado right away. The Avalanche are playing their best hockey of the season. They made a bunch of moves at the trade deadline to shore up their depth, both on the front and back end. And Jack, Artem Lechinov had a very impressive debut for the Blackhawks, logging almost 21 minutes of ice time. He had 6 shot attempts, 3 shots on goal, which was tied for second on the team. And he did so while basically the Blackhawks played with 5 defensemen the entire game because Alec Martinez missed. You know, he only played in 4 shifts, left midway through the first period, and then there's Lechinov who has to kind of fill those minutes in. So I thought under the circumstances and the opponent on the road, the altitude, you throw that in there too, I thought Lechinov was awesome in his debut for the Blackhawks.
Yeah, it was pretty impressive. And I think they had that 5-on-3 early and that power play, and they threw him out there, and then Martinez not playing. So maybe even him just not thinking about it as much, just kind of like, oh, you got to play a bunch and you go out there and play, I think helps settle in. But for a 19-year-old, he looked very very poised and controlled out there. He wasn't afraid to shoot the puck, and that's something that the Hawks had a trouble with, getting shots on goal. So it was very impressive, especially considering what you were saying earlier. He's kind of up and down in Rockford. I mean, it's like his third team in 3 years. So, I mean, that's right. It's definitely expected. But, yeah, I thought he was really good, and I think that's a nice thing for the future. And I think a lot of Hawks fans are really happy with, you have Spencer Knight now on the team, and then you get Artem Levchinov off, and he had a really good first game. So now you're starting to see some of the future coming together, which is exciting.
Yeah, I will admit, there was a part of me that feels like the Hawks need to make sure that they're playing their cards right with Levchinov, because he's played in a lot of leagues over the last 3 years. So he's gone from Belarus to the USHL to NCAA to the AHL and now to the NHL in really less than a 3 year span. And I think the Hawks need to be a little bit conscious about the lifestyle off the ice, because he's not from North America. He's from Belarus, really doesn't know anyone here. And so you don't want to yank him around too many leagues and kind of get him overwhelmed. But I trust that Kyle, Norm, the Blackhawks development staff, that they trust that he was ready for that game in Colorado. And boy, did it show. We put out a Hawks click poll earlier today. Do you think Artem Levchinov will be a bona fide number one NHL defenseman? And we had a unanimous yes vote for Chicago.
Surprising unifying.
Yeah, everyone's got last night's game on their memory, and rightfully so. Like, you saw all the tools for Levchinov to be that high-end defenseman that the Blackhawks want. Elite skater, shoot first mentality, just exudes confidence even as a 19-year-old. It was funny because we heard him speak at morning skate yesterday, and he got asked by one of the reporters, you know, are you nervous at all, like going into your first games on the road against Colorado? He's like, nervous? Why would I be nervous? It's a hockey game. And I was like, well, that's exactly the attitude it looked like he had going into the game, because I didn't see any timidness in his game. There was that first, I think it was the second shift, where Ross Colton knocks the stick out of his hands, yeah, and he's like chasing Ross Colton around, like kind of getting in his face. There was a part of me that was probably saying, I don't know if that's a guy you want to mess with, but he was kind of like fearless. He wasn't this like, just put your head down, play hard, and get off the ice, whatever. He really wanted to assert himself, and I thought you mentioned that 5-on-3 power play specifically when in the second period, that was the turning point of the game for me. Hawks got nothing going on in that almost full 2 minutes of 5-on-3 time. The only two opportunities they got were Levchinov taking those two shots and creating something himself. So I really liked how assertive he was in those power plays specifically, Jack.
Yeah, I agree. It really, I think, helped him settle in. And I like that they threw him on the second one and letting Vlasic handle the top. But he looked really composed, which, I mean, he's such a goofy guy when he talks in the media, which is funny. He's got like a good personality, but it seems like that kind of like, not like that he doesn't care, but he just kind of plays like not scared, like carefree. Right. So I think that translates onto the ice, and I mean, it'll be a nice little taste for him up here. And I mean, like you said, going against Colorado, like that's a heck of a debut. So coming out of it with being very impressed with him and how confident he looked, I think that's a big step for his development moving forward.
Yeah, and lastly, it does sound like this is just going to be a taste for Levchinov. I don't believe that this is going to be a longer-term thing where Levchinov is going to be playing himself on the roster for the rest of the season. I do believe the plan is to send him back down to Rockford at some point, but they did want to give him some sort of measuring stick to see how his game has evolved since the beginning of the season. The Hawks have been playing much better as of late, and I know it's been kind of since the trade deadline, but even before then, the Seth Jones trade, the Hawks are 3-1-2 over their last six games. And Blackhawks captain Nick Foligno was asked about this specifically yesterday after the game, what exactly is leading to the success of the Blackhawks lately. And this is what Foligno had to say when he was asked about it.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's just a quiet confidence and you know, the abilities of some players that have been able to step up. I think there's also a cohesiveness with the group, right? We've kind of gotten rid of some distractions, so to speak, and now there's just a group that's trying to get better. It's trying to find a way to improve. And, you know, sometimes when you make hard decisions, they end up benefiting the group, and I think you're seeing that. I think you're seeing a product of that. It's just where guys are playing together. They're playing for one another. They're playing to grow something here and not worried about what's gone on or what guys are feeling. It's everyone in here that's pulling them on the same rope, and we know we got to pull ourselves out of this. And I think it's a, you know, it's a credit to all the guys that have, after, you know, a lot of distractions and the deadline, and, you know, we've seen a group that's kind of come together here. So it's encouraging. You see the guys, you know, the young guys stepping in that have done the job, and even the older guys that have accepted some of the roles that they played. And, you know, it's a sign of a team coming together. So I'm encouraged by that, and it's got to continue the next 18, 17 here.
All right, really interesting quote there by Nick Foligno. And when I read that originally, I was like, wow, that's definitely feels like a subtle jab to the Seth Jones trade after he was really vocal about wanting to get traded. And I thought maybe, I like went back and listened, and I was like, okay, I thought maybe it kind of just, it wasn't really calculated by Nick to say that. I think it maybe just rolled off the tongue. But the longer the answer got, the more he like doubled down on, you know, the distractions that maybe had caused that. And I think a few reasons are behind the Blackhawks' success. And I think that's one of them. One of the big reasons is they don't have any distractions of people not wanting to be there. It's like the guys, Seth Jones, I know the Peter Mrazek situation was hanging over the team's head over after the acquisition of Spencer Knight. So you didn't have that situation that they had to navigate through. And so I think it's kind of like an addition by subtraction where Seth Jones is able to play for Florida now. He's in a spot where he desperately wanted to be, and the Blackhawks kind of got rid of the negativity of the negative energy of maybe one of their alternate captains not wanting to be here. And so you get rid of that. But I also think there are two other things. One, Ryan Donato staying with the Blackhawks through the trade deadline. I think that signaled a lot for him of, I know it wasn't ultimately his choice to want to stay, like, because if the Hawks were blown off their feet, Kyle Davidson likely would have traded him. But I think Donato has been very outspoken about wanting to hopefully be here for the long term. And so I think Donato voicing himself both publicly and probably behind closed doors of wanting to be a piece of this Blackhawks roster moving forward, I think that rubs guys the right way inside that locker room, especially the young guys. It's like, okay, here's a veteran having a career year. He easily could go somewhere else on the open market and cash out, but he wants to be here. And so I think the young guys respect that. And finally, Jack, I do think the Spencer Knight acquisition has really injected some life into this roster, because you see the forward group coming together with Bedard and Nazar getting called up and Landon Slaggart here and Colton Dock getting a taste. You see what's on the back end coming, especially after Levshinov's performance yesterday. Alex Vlasic has emerged into a bona fide top four defenseman on a very team-friendly contract for the next 6 years. More coming in the pipeline with Sam Rinzell or whatever. But the goaltending position organizationally hasn't been, it's kind of just been a coin flip. Like, you don't know what you're going to get. And so when they go out and get Spencer Knight, and he has a 41 save shutout in his team debut, he's been excellent in all three of his starts, and he's only 23 years old. I honestly think that has refueled this Blackhawks roster and could impact the overall state of the rebuild in a significant way.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think going off what you said about Donato wanting to be here, Spencer Knight was saying that too when he came here. Like, I this is where I am. I want to win here. My goal is to win here. So you get guys like that in the locker room, I think it rubs off on everybody. And Pat Maroon was talking about it on Wednesday before the trade deadline, when I think Phil Thompson asked him, like, would you extend Donato? And he's like, I would, wouldn't you? And he's like, that's above my pay grade. But like, he's like, a lot of the young guys can learn around like what he's doing. And like Landon Slaggart's sitting waiting for us to go to him next. And it's like, he kind of nodded towards him. Like, these young guys can learn a lot from like what Donato's done. And it sounds like he's been really good on and off the ice. I think Connor Bedard said on Friday that he's been really close with him. So he's been helping him out as well. So I think that is a good aspect of, they were looking to trade him, but didn't get what they wanted, and they were totally like, we would love to keep him type of thing. So, yeah, and like you said, like, he could leave and want to go win, but he's like, no, I want to stay in Chicago. Like, this is something they're building. It's kind of like what Nick Foligno was saying, like, the last year. So, it hopefully the culture's starting to change, and then you're starting to see all these young guys come up, and you're getting kind of excited, like, oh, like, some of these guys can play. A lot of the young defensemen have looked pretty good up here as well. See where they fit in and everything, but they still got more coming, which is exciting, so you got to figure that all out. But hopefully the culture change, and they can end this year pretty strong. And I said it a bunch over the weekend that Pat Maroon said they want to finish above 500 in this last part of the season or whatnot. I think they're going in like five game segments, but yeah. Like, I think he was talking the whole season. So, and they've been more competitive. I mean, yesterday they played really good, and Scott Wedgwood shut them down. So like, there's nothing you can do about that.
Yeah, for sure. I also think what's playing a role too is you're seeing how young the locker room looks now. Like, I think there's 10 players on the roster that's 23 years old or younger. And going into the season, there were a lot of veterans in the room. It's like Alec Martinez and Pat Maroon and Craig Smith and you know, Nick Foligno, like all these guys. And so if you're a young guy, you're coming into the locker room and you kind of want to follow their lead, right? But over time, as the season has progressed, you've seen Nazar get called up, you've seen Slager get called up, Colton Dock, and then on the back end it's been, you know, Louis Crevier and Ethan Del Mastro and Nolan Allen and Wyatt Kaiser. Now we just saw Artem Levchinov. And it's, if you're a young guy, you're now looking inside the locker room and you're like, oh wait, this is our locker room now. Like, this is our locker room moving forward. This is going to be our group. Maybe not everyone as far as all the young guys, because you just never know. You got a lot more young guys coming too in the pipeline. But as from a standpoint of whose locker room is this, now it's Connor Bedard's, it's Frank Nazar's, it's Alex Vlasic's, and Foligno and Connor Murphy and all those veterans that are on this team. Like, they're there for support, to support them. They're not there anymore to be the guys that are like leading the charge as far as setting the tone. I mean, they're there for example, to lead by example, but it's certainly becoming, like, it's funny, after practices now, it's like two waves. It's like the veterans are usually some of the first ones off the ice. Then it's like we're basically waiting like 15 minutes inside the Blackhawks locker room for the second wave to come out, because all the young guys are still out there on the ice, being unified in the moment, practicing together after, you know, after a skate or whatever. So it's been encouraging to see, and hopefully that carries over into the rest of the season the Blackhawks can build on. We got much more to get to here on Blackhawks Live, including a trade deadline recap. That's coming up next right here on Blackhawks Live on 720 WGN. Back here on Blackhawks Live, Charlie Rumeliotis and Jack Heinrich. Jack, it was nice to drive into the city today, and it was still light out when we got to the office. That was awesome.
Yeah, I was so confused coming in. I didn't know what time it was.
I thought it was early.
I know.
Like, I was like, what am I doing coming?
Yeah, right.
It's still light outside, but no, it's nice. That means, you know, that playoff hockey is also around the corner when we start getting some NHL games that are starting at 6 o'clock, and you're like, it's still light out. This is great. Hopefully the Blackhawks will be back in that conversation in the next couple years, whenever that might be. Big trade deadline last week on Friday around the NHL. Like, there were so many moves. Mikko Rantanen going to Dallas, Brad Marchand going to Florida in a buzzer beater, which is kind of crazy, shook up the hockey world. But it was a relatively quieter on the Blackhawks front. Really, the only two moves they made, I mean, they got the Seth Jones trade done on March 1st, so they kind of got out ahead of it. But more so on trade deadline day, Hawks acquired Joe Valeno from Detroit for Peter Mrazek and Craig Smith. And then they also made a move with the Utah Hockey Club to acquire Shea Weber's contract, and also got a couple of prospects that they can kind of take flyers on. It seemed mainly to use Weber's contract to get to the salary floor. And so whatever, those two moves, fine. Actually, I thought it was nice work by Kyle Davidson to actually get Joe Valeno for Mrazek and Craig Smith, because it seemed like we were trending in a direction where the Peter Mrazek situation was likely going to sort itself out in the summer, and not necessarily trying to get someone to take on the full contract before Friday's trade deadline. So it was nice that the Blackhawks were at least able to get some sort of piece that could be more of a bottom six guy down the road. But the Hawks will obviously be able to draw their own conclusions on Valeno over the next 5 weeks before the season ends, and maybe even carry it over to next season. The big storyline for Chicago was, especially leading into it, was whether or not they were going to trade Ryan Donato. And we did the postgame show on Wednesday at the United Center. Hawks had a game against Ottawa. Ironically, Ottawa was one of the teams that was scouting Donato heavily, because going into that game, the Senators were dead last in even strength goals, and Donato was like 15th in the NHL in even strength goals. So it definitely seemed like there was a fit there. And I remember saying to Wednesday's postgame show, Troy and I were talking, and I told Troy it feels more likely than not that Donato is going to get traded. And then he's a Chicago Blackhawk beyond Friday's trade deadline. So here's what I think happened. Over the course of the season, again, if we rewind to the beginning of the year, Donato was a healthy scratch for a couple games. Like, that's how much...
I remember that.
You know, they were just rotating veterans or whatever. But as time progressed and as the season progressed, Donato stayed consistent. The production was there. He continued to stay hot. And it got to a point where I think we had said, like, if the Hawks are just getting a third round pick for Donato, no need to move him. Like, keep him beyond the trade deadline. Well, then weeks go by and Donato's still hot. Then it got to a point where it's like, well, if the Hawks can't get a second round pick for Donato or whatever, the Hawks should keep him, whatever. And then it got to a point where it's like the Hawks' asking price was a first round pick for Ryan Donato, and it didn't sound like that was met clearly, because the Hawks had elevated his value to the team. But apparently there was a report out there that the Hawks didn't even get offered a second round pick for Donato, which, not even disputing that
report.
Seems
crazy.
But yeah, I find that really hard to believe. I was like, wow, Donato was like...
Picks were flying around trade deadline
there. Yeah, it was... I mean, 60-point player was on pace for 60-point player pace, 30-goal pace. Like, I thought for sure he would net some, at least a second round pick. But Hawks decide to keep him. Kyle Davidson was... It seemed like Kyle Davidson drew a line in the sand saying, like, we like Ryan Donato and we see a potential fit for him with him down the road if we don't trade him. And this was Kyle's explanation on trade deadline day of how much interest there was in Donato and why the Blackhawks ultimately decided to keep him beyond Friday's deadline.
We've certainly talked and kind of exchanged some ideas. I won't get into it too much, but that certainly did occur, and I'm sure we'll continue moving forward. And, you know, there was interest in Ryan, and I had, you know, what I told, you know, other teams and you know, our plan was, you know what, we're going to set a high price because we value Ryan. You know, we love what he brings on the ice, off the ice. He's a guy that never stops trying to get better. He took some very meaningful steps in trying to improve his game this summer, which I believe is translating into a career year this year. And so that's just a great example that, again, you want in your organization. And so Ryan holds value to us as well. And you know what? There was certainly some on the marketplace, but not it never rose to the point that compelled us to move on. And so, you know, we look forward to him continuing his success this year and success within our locker room and you know, for, you know, seasons beyond this. I guess we'll kind of let that play out and see where that ends up.
All right, so that was Blackhawks general manager Kyle Davidson. And I think I do want to make it clear too, if Donato's camp had made it clear to the Blackhawks that he was for sure going to test the open market, I want to become a free agent on July 1st, I think at that point the Blackhawks would have traded him beyond Friday's deadline. But I think Ryan has really made it known that he's trying to find a hockey home. And he had said that even when he signed, actually, I think it was in the Every Shift episode at the beginning of the year when the Hawks followed him around over the summer. And so I think there definitely is a mutual interest between both sides of wanting to continue this partnership if the asking price for Donato wasn't met beyond Friday's trade deadline. So on Wednesday post game, I had said, more likely than not, Donato's going to get moved. Well, on Thursday, I had heard that Donato was preparing and fairly comfortable that he was going to be here beyond Friday's trade deadline. And so I think there was definitely an avenue for Ryan. I think psychologically, he knew that an extension could potentially be on the table. And so I wouldn't be surprised, Jack, if we saw a Donato extension sometime soon, maybe in the next couple weeks, before the season ends, I imagine, maybe looking like a 3-year deal in like the $4-ish million range. I think that would kind of be a sweet spot for the Blackhawks where they can lock him up for a couple years. Also, it's not a totally, it's not a bad contract that would hinder them in the long term. But I just think that there seems to be a mutual interest between both parties. And that's why Kyle Davidson set such a high price on Donato, because it was one of those things where it's like, well, if you don't hit our asking price, we have no problem keeping him beyond Friday's deadline, and we will likely explore an extension.
Yeah, and they have so many draft picks, so I think Kyle Davidson kind of has the power to be like, we're loaded up in the draft. Like, we can move him if we get what we want, but then if not, we'll just try to extend him. And I think that makes sense to keep him around for a couple of years. You're still sorting out who's here and who's not, and maybe a team-friendly deal that won't hinder you from having young players still make the lineup, but you still want some veteran guys to learn from. And based on how the locker room feels about him, that a lot of people like him, and especially the young guys. So I think it makes sense for him to draw that line in the sand and be like, this is where we're at. And I mean, it was a seller's market. Clearly you saw what was going on around the NHL with all the trades. So I think that makes sense, just the way he went about it. And I do think, though, if he hits the open market, that might be a mischance, but it seems like they're working towards extending him.
Yeah, for sure. I think what impressed me the most was, as the trade deadline got closer, Donato seemingly was unfazed by all the talks, the outside noise, and like his game continued to stay elevated. Like, he had a point streak. It was points in like 10 of 11 leading into the deadline or whatever it was. And then after the trade deadline comes and goes and he's still part of the roster, he's like, you know, we were watching the game yesterday with Colorado. He wanted to fight the entire Utah bench in the game that you were doing.
Yeah.
And even last night, the guy's taking a beating. He's playing hits. Like, there was no change in his game, like, as if he was disappointed that he didn't get traded. Like, this is a guy that he's incredibly professional in the way that he carries himself. And I honestly think that is why he was fairly coveted, maybe not to the level of the Hawks asking price, but he was a guy that Kyle Davidson got a lot of calls from, because he really plays a consistent style of game. And what we were talking about in the first segment about the youth movement, but I as a big reason why the Blackhawks have had success over these last six games, I also think it's because guys like Ryan Donato are like, hey, like, well, I know this is a rebuilding team and we're in the bottom of the standings, but we're ready to go to war with you. And so I think the young guys are also seeing that and feel appreciated that someone like him wants to stay beyond the trade deadline and is exploring potential extension talks to be here even beyond this year. Kind of remind me of the situation last year where the Blackhawks had those three pending UFAs, and it was Foligno, Mrazek, and Jason Dickinson, and all three of them signed two-year deals. And so the Hawks easily could have flipped them, but those guys wanted, even though the 2 years were going to be years where the Blackhawks were likely going to be in the bottom of the standings, those guys were investing in those young players. Like, no, we want to be here for the foreseeable future. We like the roles that we're playing. Foligno was named the captain. Dickinson has been a massive part of Chicago's shutdown line. Like, Mrazek was the MVP last year. So when you have the buy-ins from those veterans, like Ryan Donato specifically wanting to kind of be here for a while in Chicago, I think that rubs off on the guys too, that it's like a lot of the guys that got traded, whether it was Seth Jones or whoever the case might be, that might not be here in the long term or foreseeable future. I think they're like, okay, we got our group, distractions behind us. Like, let's get ready to roll. And I think Donato is a big part of that when it comes to the culture style of it.
Yeah, there's a few guys. I mean, like you said, Nick Foligno's the captain now. So some guys buying in. And I remember like just talking with Jason Dickinson like last year after the trade deadline. He's like very, like, I could see him being in like the front office in the future, because he's very like looking at the roster the Hawks have, the prospects. Like, when everyone was getting hurt, he's like, okay, who could we sign? Who could we call up? So you like those guys around the locker room, and they bring stuff on the ice too. And they're, the big thing too is like, they're willing to, I don't know if like just kind of put themselves to the side and bring along young players too, be like helping the younger generation of players and help them transition to the NHLs. And I think that's big for like a lot of young guys, like Connor Bedard and Levshinov are 19,
right?
Like Frank Nazar is like, I think like 20 or 20, or I think he just turned 21. So you need some veteran leadership to help you move, like learn how to be a pro too, like in that. So in these guys who want to be here and are helping them along like that, I think that's a big plus.
Last thing I will say, totally off topic, I want to commend Peter Mrazek for the professionalism that he showed in a really tough situation where he ended up being the odd guy out. And when he spoke to the media for the first time about it a few days prior to the trade deadline, he couldn't have been more gracious or just understanding of the situation that Chicago was in, and he totally understood why they were going to go with Knight and Soderblom moving forward. And I honestly think that might have been a big reason why Detroit ended up acquiring him, because they saw what kind of a man that he is, of what they would be bringing inside their locker room, and a guy that has a positive attitude. So it's unfortunate that he wasn't able to see out the full contract here in Chicago, because I did think he was like legitimately their team MVP last season, like him and Connor Bedard. But, you know, unfortunately for Mrazek, Chicago's going young. But just wanted to shout out Mrazek in the way that he handled that situation, because I can't imagine it was easy for him, given that he thought he was probably going to be here for the next 2 years to provide some sort of stability in that for Chicago. All right, we got one more break to get to, and then we're going to talk about a potential Jonathan Toews comeback. It sounds like he's serious about it. Jack and I will share our thoughts next on 720 WGN. Back here on Blackhawks Live, Charlie Romeliotis and Jack Heinrich with you, putting a bow on this edition of Blackhawks Live. And we finished the show with Jonathan Toews, who did an interview with Mark Lazarus of The Athletic yesterday. The story got published, talking about how serious he is about a potential NHL return. Before I even get any further, I do want to make clear that in the story, so the Blackhawks had made a decision to move on from Patrick Kane and Jonathan Toews a few years ago, and Toews was very forthcoming in understanding that situation, and he even acknowledged on his end that if he does make a return, it's not going to be in Chicago. He would like it to be somewhere else so he can kind of just lay in the weeds and not necessarily have all this burden. So a Chicago reunion will not be happening, but I thought it was interesting some of the quotes that Toews was saying. He said, quote, "I'm not satisfied the way things ended in Chicago. It's not about proving anything. It's just that there's something left in the tank, and I want to explore that. I want to go have fun, have a blast, play with passion. I want to be able to step away from the game having said that I've given it my all." Now, apparently Toews has been skating for a couple weeks in Arizona, so he has been slowly ramping things up. And Jack, there's a part of me that's really rooting for Jonathan Toews to make this comeback, because I think it would be really cool to see him on the ice again, playing hockey and leaving the game on his terms. There's another part of me that's like, man, I don't know if I want to see him in another Blackhawks sweater. Like, it would be cool for him to just kind of like just call it a career. He's a Blackhawks lifer, will always be a legend here in the city. But I don't know. There's a bigger part of me, though, that is rooting for Jonathan Toews, the human, to get back to a level where he can mentally say, I was able to return after a couple years out of the game and was able to pick it back up. And wherever that team, wherever that goes, it would be really cool to see Jonathan Toews back with an NHL team next year.
Yeah, it would be. And I didn't he have another interview where he teased it? Early, like a couple months ago.
Yeah,
like
it was the GQ interview. Yeah, but at that point, it was in December, and so I was like, I don't know how serious it was at the time, but now that he's like skating on the ice, getting things ramped up, like it feels like he's serious about it.
Yeah, I saw pictures of him on Twitter, like in the gear skating today. So yeah, he's trying to get back into it. It'll be interesting to see it. I think he said the big test is going to be when NHL players end the season, he skates with them.
Yep.
But I'm not going to put anything past him. I mean, he's one of the all-time greats. So
yeah.
It'd be cool to see, but it'd be weird if he's not in a Hawks jersey. It'd be really weird.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of a couple teams that I think would make sense. I think the one team that jumps out at me immediately is the Winnipeg Jets. That's his hometown team. They're Stanley Cup contender. They could use another center or whatever. Colorado Avalanche, I think, would be really interesting. They play really fast. They
just thinking that.
Yeah, it feels like they could always use centers. But it's just cool the fact that Toews has gotten to a place mentally and physically where he feels like he would be up to the challenge. He said, quote, "Everyone just assumed I was retired, but I think in my mind I wasn't too sure for a long time. I just needed to not think about it, just to give myself time and space. Now I'm really missing hockey, and I think that's the biggest sign. I really miss the game and feel I have a whole different perspective and a new lease on things." So it would be the fact that Toews is speaking like that sounds like he's in a much better place mentally and physically. It would be very cool to see Jonathan Toews on the ice again. So we're rooting for him. It would be bizarre to not see him in a red Blackhawks sweater, but I think it would be awesome to see Jonathan Toews defy the odds and come back to make an NHL return next season. All right, that's going to do it for this edition of Blackhawks Live. My thanks to Jack Heinrich for joining me as always. Next show is going to be on Monday at 7 p.m. We'll talk to you then. Have a great night, everyone.